126th Jayanti celebration in California. The following was extracted from a talk delivered on 14th of January 2006 by Swami Prabuddhananda Maharaj of the Ramakrishna Mission at the 126th Jayanti celebration of Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi, organized by the devotees of Arunachala Ashrama, California. Swami Prabuddhananda, minister of the Vedanta Society of Northern California, had the good fortune to have had darshan of Bhagavan shortly before his Mahasamadhi in 1950. Friends, I thank you all, especially my friend Swaminathan, for inviting me to this gathering. We are here to commemorate the sacred memory of Sri Ramana Maharishi. I had the good fortune of having a short physical glimpse of the Maharishi. It was just before he passed away in 1950 and after his last surgery. At the time, I was in the final year of my college education. During that period, four spiritual personalities were prominently talked about. One was Ramana Maharishi, another was Sri Aurobindo, yet another was Swami Ramdas, and the fourth was Mahatma Gandhi. These four were often discussed, especially in religious circles. I naturally had the desire to see them, but in those days we were students and there was difficulty getting money to travel. When I went to see the Maharishi, I was living in Bangalore. Tiruvannamalai was closer than even Pondicherry, where Sri Aurobindo lived. Mahatma Gandhi, of course, was very difficult to reach. So, when the opportunity arose, I set out with two friends for Sri Ramanashramam. We students used to interpret the lives of these four in our own way. We would say that Ramana was a great Jnana Yogi, Ramdas was a Bhakti Yogi, Gandhi was a Karma Yogi, and Aurobindo was a Raja Yogi. Thus, we had our own ideas. I was at the time living in a dormitory run by the Ramakrishna Mission. The Ramakrishna Swamis would often mention that Sri Ramana was a Jivan Mukta. A Swami told one of the devotees, "If you want to see a Jivan Mukta in the body, go right now to Tiruvannamalai. He may not be available much longer." So it happened that we went and saw him. And not long after our visit, Sri Ramana passed away. We spent only 1.5 days at Tiruvannamalai. And during these last days of the Maharishi's physical presence, there were lots of people visiting him. We would file past him in a line which was formed outside his room, and he would look at us every now and then through the open door. We had darshan like this twice. That was the only glimpse I had of Sri Ramana. The days when one could sit with him and ask questions were already gone when we went to see him. But we had faith. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani, it is said, which means that these great Mahatmas make the Tirthas or places of pilgrimage even more sacred. Of course, Arunachala was already a hallowed place of pilgrimage, but sages like Sri Ramana make the place even more sacred. I don't know the history of the Ramana movement very well, but right after Ramana's Mahasamadhi, there was not too much talk about him or groups formed in his name. These seem to have started later. This movement appears to be growing, and that is the way of the Jivan Muktas. See how we now have such a large group here in California. Their power, call it vibration if you like, will go on spreading long after they leave, influencing and transforming people. This is the great service that they do for mankind. Unlike modern activists, with all their service projects, Mahatmas do the job silently. As Shankaracharya says in his Viveka Chutamani, Shanta Mahanto Nivasanti Santo Vasantavat Lokehitam Charanta. This means that there are pure souls who have attained peace and greatness. It is they who bring good to mankind, like the coming of spring. When spring comes, there is joy, sunshine, and cheerfulness everywhere. The great ones serve humanity like that, silently transforming people. We even see this happening here now. Wherever a Jivan Mukta looks, the place will become purified. He has looked at us, and so we have become purified. That was the satisfaction we had then when I saw him in 1950. Another statement is also made. Yatra yatra mana tatra tatra samadhi. Wherever his mind is, that is samadhi only. There is no need for sages like Ramana to sit in a certain position or close their eyes. I don't know all the details of Sri Ramana's life, but I have read here and there how he left home, came to Arunachala, lived in a cave, and performed his austerities, etc. When we perform austerities, we use our willpower and try to control our minds in order to achieve spiritual progress. But in the lives of these great people, we see that renunciation and austerities come naturally, without any effort on their part. For them, even meditation is a natural thing, without any struggle. There is a statement in the Narada Bhakti Sutras, Sachasti Kurvanti Sastrani. By their conduct, they corroborate the teachings of the scriptures. Such was the case with Sri Ramana Maharishi. I have picked out just one verse from Ramana's Reality in 40 Verses. If one inquires, who am I? Within the mind, the individual I falls down abashed as soon as one reaches the heart. Immediately, the reality manifests itself spontaneously as I. It is not the ego, although it reveals itself as I, but the perfect being, the absolute self. When you go deeper with this inquiry, things drop off automatically until we finally reach the self. This is also called Brahman in Vedanta, or Atma, or Sachidananda, Asthi Bhati Priya. In the Puranas, words like Bhagavan, Avatara, Rama, Krishna are used to refer to the same reality. Satyasya Satya is also a term used in the Upanishads, meaning truth of truths. There are many truths in this world, but they are changing or impermanent. Our self is the truth of truths. Thus, when we say Ishvara or Brahman or Rama, we may as well say I. There are so many paths: ritual worship, prayer, meditation, etc. There is also Karma Yoga, where we see God in others and serve them. Sri Ramana says all these paths lead to the same goal. Although the final aim is to realize the I, all these are supportive of that. Not only are they supportive, but Bhagavan says that love of God and surrender to God is itself jnana. The same result is experienced by the Who Am I quest. Just now, you were singing hymns on Arunachala. When I saw that, I was so happy. As you know, Ramana had great love for Arunachala. Dogmas always divide people, create differences of opinion and conflict, but experience always unifies. When you read Sri Ramana Maharishi's life and teachings, it is all very harmonious. You will never find anything rebellious anywhere. He just talks about facts, the truth. Why should one fight? However, in religious and philosophical circles, there is wrangling all the time. Maharishi's teaching is plain and simple. What is the I? It is the self itself. A lot is said about Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga and about which one is superior. I was extremely happy to read these words of the Maharishi. By whatever path you go, you will have to lose yourself in the one. Surrender is complete only when you reach the stage, Thou art all, and Thy will be done. The state is not different from Jnana. In Soham, there is Dvaita. In surrender, there is Advaita. In the reality, there is neither Dvaita nor Advaita, but that which is, is. Surrender appears easy because people imagine that once they say with their lips, I surrender, and put their burdens on their Lord, they can be free and do what they like. But the fact is that you can have no likes or dislikes after your surrender, and that your will should become completely non-existent, the Lord's will taking its place. Such death of the ego is nothing different from Jnana. So, by whatever path you may go, you must come to Jnana or oneness. Surrender to Him and abide by His will, whether He appears or vanishes. Await His pleasure. If you ask Him to do as you please, it is not surrender, but command to Him. You cannot have Him obey you and yet think that you have surrendered. He knows what is best and when and how to do it. Leave everything entirely to Him. His is the burden. You have no longer any cares. All your cares are His. Such is surrender. This is bhakti. Can we say that Sri Ramana Maharishi was an Advaitin? I would say he was not. He is more than that. Dvaita Dvaita Vivarjita. It is said, beyond Dvaita and Advaita. So, what is the conclusion? There are two ways of achieving surrender. One is looking into the source of the I and merging into that source. The other is feeling. I am helpless myself. God alone is all-powerful. And except by throwing myself completely on Him, there is no other means of safety for me. And thus gradually developing the conviction that God alone exists and the ego does not count. Both methods lead to the same goal. Complete surrender is another name for jnana or liberation. See the point Sri Ramana is always making. The ego does not count. The empirical personality or vyavaharika jiva really has no existence. Such a synthesis is what is needed. Once a young man visited Ramana. He was about to join the Ramakrishna order at that time. He asked the Maharishi, probably to clear his doubts, "There are so many activities that I want to do, even though I am a spiritual seeker. I want to serve people and do various kinds of social service. What should I do?" The Maharishi said, "What else can you do? Yes, you should serve people." Another young man went to Bhagavan. He wanted to stay in Sri Ramanashramam. "What do you want to do?" Bhagavan asked him. "I want to realize God and serve humanity," the man replied. Thank you.